This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
Today, we come to Calvary, the place where one man suffered that none of us would ever have to suffer. Today we come to Calvary, the place where one man died that all might live. Today we're going to be studying from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, verses 3 and 4, where Jesus is referred to prophetically as a man of sorrows. I hope that you'll stay tuned as we discuss this topic today. These are things that we need to know because they pertain to our eternal destiny. Jesus Christ, a man of sorrows. I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. We're delighted to have you watching today. And I want to encourage you to watch today as we discuss things out of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, one of those great chapters of the Bible. Now, today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course. I emphasize that it is free. We want you to have it in order that you might know more about the course, what is involved in the course, how you can take the course. We're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out Pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
I want to read today from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, verses 3 and 4. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Pain, grief, and sorrow is a part of life. It was Job who said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He also said in the 5th chapter of the book of Job, man is born to sorrow and to pain and suffering, just like the sparks fly upward from a fire. It's certain that sparks do go up from a fire, and it's just that certain that grief and sorrow will be a part of your life. And some of God's greatest servants suffered. Job suffered. He suffered unbelievably. Job lost all of his children, all 10 children. Job lost all of his cattle, everything he had. Job lost all of his physical, material blessings that God had blessed him with. He lost it all. He lost his health. Try to picture Job sitting on an ash heap, scratching because he's got boils and sores all over his body. His wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die, Job?" But Job's attitude was a little different because Job said, "Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked I will return." He said, "It's the Lord who gives, and it's the Lord who takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Yes, he suffered. The Apostle Paul suffered unbelievably. In the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he talked about having been in shipwreck, having been stoned, having been beaten with rods, being in perils. Everywhere he went, he was in perils. And yet he remained true to the Lord. And when Jesus Christ came into the world, Jesus came to suffer on behalf of other people. Jesus suffered rejection. Notice Isaiah 53 and verse number 3. "He is despised and rejected of men." So he suffered rejection. Men rejected his love. Jesus came into this world because he loved people. "Greater love hath no man than this," said Jesus, "that a man lay down his life for his friends." So Jesus' love was rejected. I can't imagine that. It is sad when someone loves an individual and they would do anything for that person, even to the point of maybe giving their lives to protect that individual from any kind of harm. And then that love is not requited. It's not repaid. There's no love coming back to the person who does the loving. That's sad. Jesus' love was rejected. His truth was rejected. Jesus said, "I am the truth." Pilate asked, "What is truth?" But men still reject the truth of the gospel. They reject Jesus' truth. Jesus' kingdom is still rejected. There are some think that Jesus has yet to establish his kingdom. But Daniel predicted the coming of the kingdom in the days of the Roman Empire. In Daniel, the 2nd chapter, in verse 44, he said, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. It shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It shall stand forever." And yet some people say that never happened. But you see, in Daniel chapter 2, there are four world empires that are contemplated. Number one is the Babylonian Empire. Number two is the Medo-Persian Empire. Number three, the Grecian Empire. And number four, after the fall of the Grecian Empire, there was the rise of the Roman Empire. And it would be in the days of that empire, the days of the Roman kings, that God would set up his kingdom that would never be destroyed. And that's when John the Baptist, in the days of those kings, said, "The kingdom is at hand." Jesus said, "The kingdom is at hand." Jesus said, "I will build my church, which is the same as the kingdom." According to Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. And then he said, "It will come with power in Jerusalem." And that happened on the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts. And yet still people reject his kingdom. He was rejected by his own people. Isn't that sad? I have many, many people who have been so nice to me over the years of my 60-plus years of preaching. I have been rejected by very, very few people. Very few people have turned their backs upon what I would try to tell them about Jesus. And many have accepted him. But Jesus was rejected by his own. He came to his own, we're told in John chapter 1, verse 11, and his own received him not. He was rejected by the religious leaders of that day. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42, the Bible says, have you not read in the Scriptures? And yes, they had read this in the Scriptures. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. And you see, that was a fulfillment of the prophecy back in Isaiah, the 28th chapter, and in verse 16. Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, in relation to Matthew 21 and verse 42. But Jesus was rejected by the religious leaders of that day. He was rejected by those at the cross. Think about those at the foot of the cross that rejected him. There was one on that cross. You see, there were two crosses, one on either side of Jesus, and one of those crosses, a man said, to remember me when you come into your kingdom. Another rejected Jesus, turned his back upon Jesus. You see, for the whole of his life, he was rejected. As a matter of fact, in Luke's gospel, and in chapter 2 and in verse 7, the Bible says that when there was no room for them in the inn. His parents were trying to find a place where Mary could bring Jesus into the world. And they had gone to pay their tax, and they could not find a place to stay. And so they stayed in a stable where animals were. Jesus was born in a place, very humble place. Jesus Christ was rejected for the whole of his life. In John the 12th chapter, there were many among the chief rulers that believed on him. They believed, oh yes. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him. Why not, lest they be put out of the synagogue? For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see, there are still people who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a serious thing to say no to Jesus, to reject Jesus. In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day. So Jesus is still being rejected by men. There are those that reject not only his love, but his sacrifice. They reject his appeal. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I want you to know, friend, that invitation of Jesus is still being extended today. And Jesus is saying to your heart, come unto me. And don't reject him. Accept him on his terms. And his terms are faith in him, repentance of your sins, confession of your faith in him as being the Son of God, and baptism that puts you into Christ, that puts you in contact with the blood of Christ, and that will add you to his body called the church. Jesus suffered rejection. But Jesus also suffered grief. Look at Isaiah 53 and verse 3 again. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Grief. No doubt right now I'm speaking to some heart that's grieving. Maybe you're grieving because of you learned from the doctor you have some terrible illness. Or maybe you're grieving because you've gone through a divorce. Or maybe you're grieving because your spouse has neglected you or maybe even deserted you. You may be grieving because you have a child that's away from home and that you love that child so much and you're grieving because they are not with you. Or maybe you're grieving because you've lost a loved one to death. Our world is bathed with the tears of grieving mankind. Grief is common to the lot of man. All kinds of tears that are being shed today. And many of you have shed tears over many things. There are tears of separation. When we're separated from people that we love, there are tears of physical pain. Have you ever hurt so badly that you shed tears? Physical pain, physical tears. And then there are tears of bereavement. Tears because you've lost someone that you love more than life itself. And you will shed those tears for the rest of your life to a certain extent. Because when you lose someone that you love, maybe prematurely, maybe it's the loss of a child, maybe it's the loss of your mate, and you never thought that would happen to you, and you'll shed tears for a long time. You'll suffer grief for a long time to come. There are tears of loss where maybe you lost your job. Maybe you made some bad investments and you lost your life savings. There are tears and there's grief because of war. You think of the people right now that are grieving in places over the world, such as Ukraine and even in Russia and in Palestine and in Israel, that are grieving because the result of war, and their tears that are shed because of hunger. We may not realize it, but there's not a single one of us right today likely that's shedding tears because we're hungry. But if you are hungry, you can do something about it. But there are those that cannot. There are little babies that will go to bed tonight, and they will be hungry, and they'll cry themselves to sleep because they're hungry. You say there are tears that are shed all over the world. Well, Jesus was acquainted with grief. When his friend Lazarus died, Jesus was moved in his spirit. We're told in John 11 that he groaned in his spirit. And I think it was a groan of pain and suffering, a groan of loss. It is said of Jesus in John 11 and verse 35, Jesus wept. Oh, I know sometimes when children are asked to quote a passage of Scripture, they'll always go to John 11, 35 if they don't know another one, because it's so short. Jesus wept. But there's so much wrapped up in that. Jesus suffered grief. Jesus knew what it was to shed tears. He shed tears over the city of Jerusalem, according to Luke 19, 41. And in Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you would not. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Here was a place where Jesus had done more teaching than any other place in all the world. And yet these people turned their backs upon Jesus. And it caused Jesus to weep. Jesus knows what it is to suffer grief. And we have today a high priest who can suffer with us. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of Hebrews, verses 14 and 15 of that chapter, you see, this is what the writer says. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, and that's Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And so we hold fast to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because right now, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. Well, what's the purpose of him being our high priest? Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Jesus is our high priest. He's sitting at the right hand of God, and Jesus knows what it is to suffer. Jesus knows what it is to have sorrow in your heart. Why? Because he suffered, and he can intercede on our behalf, Hebrews 7:25, as our mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. And he can tell the Father, look, I know what it is to suffer like that. Jesus Christ shares our sorrows. There's a statement made in the Psalms. In Psalms chapter 56 and in verse 8, where the Lord talks about putting our tears in a bottle. I think there's a tears in his bottle of remembrance, that God remembers our tears. He doesn't forget some things. God remembers the sorrow, and he knows the sorrow that we go through. Sometimes we see people that are hurting. Maybe we've learned about the death of someone that we knew, and we found out the time that they're going to have their funeral service, and we go down to the cemetery, to the funeral home, or maybe they have a service out at the cemetery, so we attend that. And sometimes we don't really know what to say. Well, the best thing to say sometimes is nothing. But if you must say anything, maybe just, "I'm so sorry," might be the best thing. Never say, "I know just how you feel," because no one knows how anyone else feels. But people are shedding tears, and we're there to help them. But we may not really fully understand how they are suffering. But let me remind you that God does. He keeps a record of our misery. In Psalms rather 56 and verse 8, the psalmist said, "Record my misery." That's a strange statement, isn't it? This is according to the New International Version. "Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not now in your record?" And this is the same verse from the New Living Translation. "You keep a track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." Now here's the same verse from the New American Standard Version. "You have taken account of my miseries. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" Someone says, "Well, that's so confusing to me. What does it mean?" Here's what it means. The Lord knows what is going on in your life, and the Lord understands. But notice verse 3 again, where he says that he is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. "He was despised, we esteemed him not, surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we'd esteem him stricken of God and afflicted." Jesus suffered loneliness. He knows what it is to be alone. He was alone in the garden. Jesus was alone really when he was arrested in the garden. He was alone during his trial. And he was alone on the cross. Don't you remember he said to his Father on the cross, my God, why hast you forsaken me?" Many of you that are watching right now are suffering loneliness. Maybe you're suffering loneliness because of the death of a family member. Maybe your children are away at school. Maybe you've moved into a new town, to a new church, to a new school, and you feel so much like an outsider, so alone. There's a loneliness that people can experience because of the separation of sin, knowing that you're separated from God. Let me tell you something. Jesus knows about loneliness. But not only does he know about it, he cares. And let me tell you how much he cared. He cared enough that he died for you. He cares enough that he said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." He cared enough to say that, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world." He suffered loneliness. Maybe you feel lonely right now. Let me encourage you to give your life to him who can fill your life with goodness and peace and happiness, Jesus the Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if you'll come to Christ today, just like people did in Bible times, let me give you an example of what a man did to become a Christian and to have Christ, and it brought happiness to his life. He had been to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way home back to Ethiopia. And he had been reading from this chapter that we're studying from, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And the preacher Philip came to the chariot side of this man, and he began to preach Jesus to this man. He opened the book of the Bible, Isaiah 53, from the same scripture this man had been reading to preach Jesus. And as they went on their way, the man said, "Here's water. Why can't I be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you can." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And this is what the Bible says. They commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more. And he, that is the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. He wasn't alone any longer because he had the Lord now by his side. I want to suggest to you that you give your life to him today. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If you do that, he'll add you to his church family. It's called the church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Bible says, "The Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved," or those that were being saved. You don't join it. You don't have to be voted in. The Lord will add you to it. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible today, and I want to encourage you to take the Bible course. Let me invite you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out Pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible. Reach up and grow.